Amen. Well, the message today is I believe. We need to know what we believe and why we believe it. One guy was asked, well, what do you believe? He says, well, I believe what my church teaches. They said, well, what does your church teach? He said, they teach what I believe. So they said, well, what do you and your church believe? He said, we believe the same thing. And you know, that's about where some Christians are. They kind of know what their church teaches, what they believe. You need to know that you know what you believe. And our faith always has to be founded upon the Word of God. We believe the Word of God. We esteem the Word of God above all else. In John 1:1, it says, in the beginning was the Word. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. It's amazing to me how some people doubt the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Word, He was with God and He was God. In John 1:14, it says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The Word that was with God and was God, He became flesh and dwelt among us. Amazing truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Some people want to say He was a great teacher or some kind of prophet, but you just need to know that He really is God. You need to know that either Jesus is who He says He is, or He's the worst heretic in history. Because Jesus said to the Jews who didn't believe in Him, He said, I am. He declared to them that He was the I am. And they took up stones to stone Him. They knew exactly what He was saying when He said, I am. It's a reference to Exodus chapter 3:15, where the Lord told Moses to tell the people, I am sent you. We need to know that Jesus, He really is God in the flesh. And that is the foundation of our faith, the Word of God. That's what we base our belief on. Jesus said in Matthew 24:35, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 12 and 13, it tells us that this old world is going to burn. It's all going to melt with a fervent heat. Yes, it's in the Bible. It's all going to burn. All that you see, it's all going to burn. It's all going to melt. It's all going to be gone. And then it tells us that He's going to create a new heaven and a new earth. But get this, but His Word will never pass away. Which is more real? What you see or His Word? Now we're going to go back to the beginning when all our troubles started. It's Genesis chapter 2. And we're going to begin with verse 15 through 17. Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. Let's go to Genesis. Let's keep going in Genesis chapter 3, verse 1 through 5. It says, now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? What's he doing here? He's questioning. He's already trying to bring into question the Word of God. He's trying to stir doubt and unbelief. And I tell you, this is how the enemy works so often, as he brings a question. He tries to stir doubt and unbelief. And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Now, the Lord didn't say you can't touch it. And here's the only reason I think that matters. She didn't seem to be really sure about exactly what God had said. I don't know if it was because Adam didn't do a good job as her husband teaching her or telling her what God had told him. But however it happened, there was some ambiguity there about exactly what God had said. We need to know what the scriptures say. This lazy Christianity that's so prevalent today, it will leave you open to doubts and questions. You need to be learning the scripture. Verse 4, then the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." And here's the big lie. You're not going to die. It's not like that. No, God is keeping you from something good. He's bringing in these questions, these doubts in the Word of God. And he's bringing into question the character of God. This is how he works. Genesis 3:6. So when the woman saw, when she saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. She fell to the deception when Satan twisted the word of God. But exactly when did it happen? When she saw that the fruit was good to eat and to make one wise. She saw it. Instead of going by what she had heard that God said, instead, she went by what she saw. And here is part of the religious culture of the day. It's so worldly. It's so carnal. I'll believe it when I see it. She saw something. And it was a deception from the enemy to bring so much trouble into this world. You can't go by what you see. It is exact opposite from what the world says. No, we got to go by the word of the Lord, what we've heard God say. You see, part of that deception is that it looked like a good thing. She saw that it was good for food. She saw something. It looked like a good thing. And you know, that's the way Satan works. He doesn't come with a pitchfork and a big long tail and a red suit. No, he comes as an angel of light and he makes it look good. But we need to know this. We got to believe the word of God no matter how it looks, no matter how we feel. We base our faith on the word of God. Because we can be easily deceived by what we see with the natural eye. You know, when Jesus was here on this earth, a lot of people wanted to see a sign. And Jesus did all kinds of miracles, and yet they didn't believe. But they wanted to see a sign. They wanted some proof. And Jesus said, "No sign will be given to this generation." But did you know that when the Antichrist comes, that he's going to do signs and wonders with great power? It's what the scripture says in 2 Thessalonians 2:9, the coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders. Oh, so many people are going to be deceived by the Antichrist, by what they see him do. They're going to see this power and signs and lying wonders. I'm telling you, you don't go by what you see, you go by the word of God. Always, we believe the word of God. We don't believe it because we see it. We believe it because God said it. I believe. See, Satan will always try to deceive those people that believe the lying wonders. In Thessalonians there, in 2 Thessalonians, it tells us that the reason that they were deceived is because they didn't love the truth. Here's the source of truth. Jesus prayed it in John 17 to the Father. He says, your word is truth. You need to know this is the real truth. Even when it looks like this, remember how it happened to Eve? It looked good. This is the truth. Believe God's word. Satan will use all kinds of voices to deceive. Listen, he'll try to reason with you. He'll bring questions to your mind. Where's the proof? I believe God's word is all the proof that I need. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. The Lord says he'll destroy the wisdom of the wise, bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. You see, we need to realize that this is not done by our earthly reasoning, by our carnal minds. No, we believe the word of God. We believe what he has said. Where is the wise? Where's the scribe? Where's the disputer of this age? Oh, there's so many disputers in this day and time. Has God not made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God. You can't know God through worldly wisdom. There's no way. You just can't get smart enough. You're always going to end up with something other than the truth. It pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. I believe. I believe. Listen, the Jews request a sign. The Greeks seek after wisdom. There's always people that want a sign. They want some proof that they can see. Prove it to me. And then he says, the Greeks seek after wisdom. They want to be able to figure it all out. They think they're smart. They think they're intellectual. They think they're educated. They got to be able to understand it all. You're never going to get there that way because it takes faith. We believe the word of God. We believe what he has said. We have to choose to believe. Here's the thing. If you can be convinced intellectually, you can be unconvinced intellectually. It is a choice that we make in our heart. Our heart is the seat of the will. It's where we decide. It's with the heart you believe under righteousness. You see, we choose to believe. Some people choose to believe in a certain system of science. Some people believe in some kind of a philosophy. Some people put their faith, their trust in a political ideology. Some believe there is no God. They just believe in themselves. But I got to tell you that real faith has to be founded on the word of God. We believe in him. And here's the thing, you can't ever get there by natural reasoning, trying to figure it all out. We choose to believe. A lot of people never get born again for the simple reason that they have to figure it all out. If they can't figure it all out, they can't believe. That's where the Greeks were. They had to have it all figured out. And some people, they just can't get born again. They can't really believe because they just can't see it. They need some kind of a proof. But you know what's really sad to me is that in our day and time, there are a lot of believers who are falling away from the faith because doubts and questions have come into their mind. Sometimes it is because of disappointment. Things didn't go the way they thought it should. And so they start to question the character of God. They start to wonder if this is even real. And this new thing today that, you know, it's just become a big deal of these people deconstructing their faith. Maybe they grew up in church. Maybe they came to the Lord and they've known the Lord for some time. But then something happens. Something gets them questioning their faith. And all of a sudden they're questioning. They're picking it apart. They're tearing down their own faith and they don't even believe anymore. A lot of the time it's because they listen to the wrong voices. You got to be careful about the voices that you listen to. Satan is a master of deception. And he is always working against us. That's why we have to hold to the truth of God's word. Believe. I believe. In Mark 10, 14 and 15, Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God." Little children. Little children can know the Lord. Of such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom as a little child will by no means enter it. You can't get into the kingdom of God without childlike faith. If you think you've got to have it all figured out, that in your smarts you've got to understand and know everything, you're never going to get there. You either come with a childlike faith, a humble heart, just believing, or you don't come. You see, that's the way it has to be. We just believe. I don't have all the answers. I don't have all the questions answered, but I believe. That's the way it has to be. Humble faith, not prideful skepticism. It'll never get you there. Our faith precedes and supersedes our effort to understand. Faith comes by hearing the word of God, not by the reasoning mind. I see that bothers some people because they're thinking, oh no, I that's not right. I'm not going to check my brain at the door and just believe anything. No, you shouldn't just believe anything. You should believe the word of God. And the word of God is so much higher than anything you can figure out. We just believe it because he said it. And that settles it for us. See, we need to seek to understand the scripture. We compare scripture with scripture, seeking to know its truth so that we can live it out in our life. But we never bring the scripture down to the level of human reasoning. His thoughts are so far and away above ours. His ways are past our understanding. Isaiah 55, 9, "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, my thoughts than your thoughts." You will never figure it all out, but you can trust God. You see, we all have times in our life we don't understand everything, things that happen. Here's what I know, though. You can trust the faithful God that his word is true. Faith comes as we hear the word of God. Romans 10, 17. "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." It's as we receive the word of God. You know, I talk about this verse a lot and how much we need to be hearing the word of God, because there's such a faith deficit in this world. So much cynicism and skepticism. Oh, we need to hear the word of God. And when I say hear the word of God, you see, it doesn't just say faith comes by hearing. It says, and hearing by the word of God. Listen, we all in this room right now, we hear. But are we receiving? Are we hearing with the ears of our heart? It's not just the natural ear. It's hearing with the heart. That's when faith comes. And he is the one that our faith is in, that we believe God, we believe His Word, and then faith comes. Any belief system that's not founded on the Word is not faith. It could be sincere, it could look religious, but real faith has to come from the Word of God. So many looking for signs and wonders. They want to see something. Instead of looking for something, we need to be listening for something. We need to have an ear open to the Word of God to hear what He would say to us, because that's how faith comes. I want to tell you, there's really only one faith. I know that in this world they say, well, you have your truth and I have my truth. There's only one truth. His Word is truth. And when it comes to faith, I understand there are other religions, but I'm talking about real faith. There's just one, really. In Ephesians 4:4-6, it says, there's one body and one spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith. There it is. How many faiths is there? There's one. One faith, one baptism, one God and Father. You don't have a bunch of God and fathers. Everybody, you know, there's many ways. No, there's one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Our faith has to be founded on what God has said, not by reasoning and education and figuring it all out. It is because we trust in what He has said. You know, some people hear the Word of God, and instead of receiving it, they just kind of leave it lay there. Well, I'm not sure about that. Listen, if it's the word of man, yeah, you need to question. If it's the word of God, we should just receive it. But sometimes people don't really receive it. They just kind of leave it lay there on the beaten path until the enemy comes and snatches it away. I'm talking about the parable of the sower that Jesus told. It's in Luke chapter 8. You see that seed of the word of God that they heard, it didn't bring forth any fruit, no change in their life. And then some of them, they believe. They're excited about the word of God. They believe. But then when trouble comes, see, when things don't go the way they thought that it should, when it gets hard, they decide that it must not be real. And the word of God doesn't bring any fruit, no real lasting change in their life. And then there are some, they receive the word of God, but they mix it in with all kinds of other voices. It's the seed that was mixed with weeds and thorns. And this is where a lot of people lose their faith. They hear the word, and yet they're listening to so many other voices in this world. And the Bible says that it chokes out the seed of the word of God so that it doesn't bring forth any fruit in their lives. And then there's that good and noble heart, the one who hears the word of God and they cherish it. Oh, they cherish it. It's something priceless and precious. They believe. They won't let go of it. They hang on to it. And the Bible says that it brings forth a great harvest in their life. Their life is changed because they truly believe the Word of God. You got to believe. Hebrews 11:1 tells us that faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. It has substance. It's substance. The substance of things hoped for. It's not just a wish. It's real. Evidence of things not seen. You see, it's not just positive thinking. Here's all the proof that we need. Evidence of things not seen. That's what faith is. Evidence of things not seen. How do you get that? From the Word of God. We believe what God has said. Our faith rests on the Word of God. And I'll take God's Word over what I can see every time. Amen. 2 Corinthians 4:8 No, I got to get this in here. Hebrews 11:3. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. Get this. We already talked about it, that Jesus was the word. But you see here very clearly, the world was made by the word of God. He spoke the word and the world was made. You know what that tells me? That there is a higher reality than the things that we see. God's word is a higher reality than what you see. 2 Corinthians 4:18, it says, we don't look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Living in a world where there's so much hype and false advertising, misrepresentation all the time. In the time we live in now, we ought to all know better than to believe what you see. Because now they can manipulate pictures and video and it looks like this, but none of it's real, none of it's true. How we ought to know, you can't go by what you see. But you see, what has happened is all of these things that go on in our world, it causes people to be cynical and skeptical and questioning when it comes to God. He's in a class all by himself. The Bible says God is not a man that he should lie. It says in Hebrews 7:18 that it is impossible for God to lie. If he said it, it's true. It's right. We may not have it all figured out, but we can know this, that if God said it, it is absolutely true. It is a matter of character that he cannot lie. You know, people always ask silly questions. If there's anything that God cannot do, here's what he can't do. He cannot lie. The Bible says it very clearly. In Hebrews 11:6, it says, without faith, it's impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and he rewards those who earnestly seek him. You know, in this world, there's a lot of people that profess to believe in God. Well, James says even the demons believe and tremble. There's a lot of people that believe in God, but they don't believe that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. They don't live their life to serve God. No, theirs is not a true faith. I want to tell you, we need to believe the word of God enough that we want to live it out in our life. Not question his character. We don't doubt that his word is true. We know it's true. And I'll tell you, when you believe the word of God that way, oh, what blessing it brings on your life. What fantastic promises are available to us when we believe the word of God that way. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13 and 14, it says, and we also thank God continually, because when you received the word of God, they received it, which you heard from us, you accepted it, not as the word of men, but as it actually is the word of God, which is at work in you who believe. Another translation says it's effective in you who believe, but it's at work in our life. See, we need to know this. When we believe the word of God, then it has this power to work in our life. But when we reject it, when we doubt it, when we have the skeptical attitude towards the word of the Lord, what Jesus told the religious people of his day, he says, you make the word of God of no effect. It doesn't have that power in their life to change their life. We can't go by the teachings of men. You see, even in the time we live in, there are so many who profess to be believers, and yet they don't really believe the word of God. And they say, God doesn't do that anymore. He's changed. We need to believe the word of God, that he is the God who said, I, the Lord, do not change. Amen. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You don't get that faith from circumstance. You don't get that faith from the reasoning of the mind. We get that faith by choosing to believe God's word. Jesus says in Mark 11:22, he says, have faith in God. Have faith in God. Jesus is telling us to do something. Have faith in God. There's this attitude amongst a lot of people that faith is just a feeling that comes over you. You can't help it. You can't help it if you don't believe. It's a choice that you make. You choose to believe. Then there's a religious teaching that says that, well, God has chosen which ones can have faith and which ones don't. And if you're not one of the lucky ones that he picked out, then sorry, you can't believe. Jesus doesn't tell us to do something we can't do. Have faith in God. It is a choice, a decision that we make. That I believe. I choose to believe. There may be questions that pop into my mind. There may be doubts that come against me. But I choose to believe anyway. I'm not going to let the enemy talk me out of my faith. I believe. That's the way it has to be. He goes on, he says, I tell you the truth, if anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will happen, it will be done for him. Who said that? Some faith preacher? Yes, his name was Jesus. He preached faith always. He never preached doubt. Doubt preachers are a dime a dozen. Cheap and easy. We need to believe the word of God. And I want to tell you, when you get a word from God, when you know that God has spoken to your heart, you can speak to the mountain and you know it'll be done. And then he says, therefore I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received and it will be yours. Here's Jesus' final say on prayer. Believe that you have received. You pray. And you believe you've received. He didn't say, someday, believe you have received, and then it will be done. That might be someday. But you believe in your heart that you have already received. You see, we got to get to the place where we are a believing people. We believe the promises. We believe everything that God has said. We walk by faith, not by sight. You know, a lot of believers, they say, well, I got to see it before I can believe it. That's kind of weird, because the whole basis of our faith is that Jesus Christ died on the cross for us so that we could go to heaven and be with him for all eternity. Listen, nobody's seen it. You can't see heaven. But we believe. It seems like a lot of believers, that's about the only thing they'll take by faith. Everything else, they have to see it first. Get rid of that garbage, worldly mindset. You believe the word of God so God can work it. I want to tell you, God has more for you than just going to heaven. As wonderful as that is, he wants to move and work in your heart and life today. He wants to work through you. But we have to believe. We got to be a believing people. I believe. We rely on God's word and we trust him and we obey him. That's the way of faith. We choose to go his way. When you truly believe, you see, it doesn't matter how it looks, doesn't matter how you feel, doesn't matter what others say, you believe what he has said. I believe. I've always believed, on some level, I have always believed that the scriptures were the word of God, that they were right and true and how we could know God. Don't misunderstand me. I'm going to say this again. There were times when I had questions about things and things that bothered me and troubled me. But I always chose to believe. There was a lot of my young life, I didn't know much of this book. But I believed it was the Word of God. And I just have to tell you that God has been so good to me. I've lived such a blessed life. He's been with me. He's kept me through all of the hard places, the difficult times. He's kept me, been with me, even through all of my failures and my falls. He's been with me. He's been there through the hard places. I go through the valley of the shadow of death. He's always been with me. He's always kept me. He's been faithful God to me, and He's blessed me over and over and over, far beyond what I deserve, just His blessing me. Believe. Just believe. Just believe. We got to choose. Can't figure it all out. We just believe. I believe the Word of God. I believe that in the beginning that God created the heavens and the earth, that He spoke the worlds into being. I believe that what He prophesied in the book of Isaiah about a virgin giving birth is absolutely true. That Jesus Christ was born of a virgin. Oh, that doesn't make sense to me. Oh, that's just too far, preacher. I believe in an almighty God who fulfills His word that He spoke hundreds of years before, that Jesus Christ came to this earth, born of a virgin, and lived a sinless life. There's so many religious people trying to say that Jesus didn't live a sinless life, but the Word of God makes it clear that He did. He is the Lamb of God, slain from the foundation of the world, who takes away the sin of the world. I believe these things. I believe that Jesus died on the cross and that He rose again. Amen. He rose from the dead and He's seated at the right hand of the Father. I believe He's making intercession for us. And I believe that He's the King of kings and the Lord of lords. There's coming a day when every knee in heaven and on earth and under the earth will bow to the name of Jesus and confess that He is Lord to the glory of God the Father. I believe that He's coming back for a church without spot or wrinkle. He's coming back for His people, and Jesus is going to rule and reign. I believe every word of this book. And I challenge you today, just in simple childlike faith, to decide, you know what? When I don't understand, when I'm struggling, when it's hard, I'm just going to believe anyway. I believe God. Amen. Amen. Stand with me. We're going to pray. I want our prayer partners to come.